Hello and welcome to the Vine Life Podcast. I'm Tony Clark, your host. Today, my guest is legendary vocalist John Schlitt. John has a brand new release called History. It's a deluxe 3D disc set put together by John himself. This limited edition box set is a testament to John's artistic evolution as a solo artist and features 40 tracks spanning around 25 years or so. And much more information can be found about John at johnschlitt.com. Again, johnschlitt.com. John, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Tony. It's great to be here, buddy.
Well, it's an honor to have you back on. And I want to talk about this History box set. John, what was the spark plug that really got you going to think, what were you thinking basically that said, I need to grab these old songs and put them back in production again? What was your thinking there?
I wasn't, buddy. It wasn't my idea. Girder Music called me and said, John, we are big fans of yours. We're working with Petra. We know we are working with your solo projects, especially Go, which was my newest one. And we really feel that it's being underrepresented, and we'd like to do something about it. I said, well, you know, you guys are working really hard on this 50th anniversary project, and it looks so great. Do you really want to mess with my stuff? He goes, absolutely. In fact, we've already got it designed. We know what we want to do. We just need your okay. So it sort of came out of the blue for me because, again, I'm so busy with the Petra anniversary that I really wasn't thinking that much about my solo side of things. And when they came and presented it to me, I said, I'm honored. I thank you for that. That's very cool. And the fact that we were able to get the collection that they chose and that I totally agreed with, actually, I changed maybe two or three songs. That's it. It was refreshing to me. I said, thank you, man, because most of my stuff is on my own label. I'm in a terrible label, so it really didn't get that much representation. So now that it's with Girder Music, I think it's probably going to get a little better representation, maybe come to light a little bit more. There's some good stuff on, in my solo career. And not because of me, but because of all the people I've worked with. I've been very blessed, as I was with Petra, as I was with Eddie's. I've been able to be with some of the best musicians in the country, best writers, best producers, and it's always been an honor to be able to be part of something like that. And I really felt a little like I'd let my solo side of things down a little bit because the quality of the music, the quality of the message needed to be represented better. So when History came around, I said, thank you. I think this is a great idea. What do you have in mind? They started telling me, wow, that's actually really cool. And I was not disappointed when I saw the first printing of it. It was like, thank you, guys. Thank you for your thank you for your blessing to me. It was an honor.
John, I'm curious, going back in your catalog of many, many songs as a solo artist, what were some of the memories? What came back to you, such as people, places? Is there anything that really stands out or a lot of things that stand out for you when you're going back to these songs? Are you thinking about the recording studio? Are you thinking about the musicians? What's going on in your brain there?
All the above. And really, that was one of the refreshing things. Every song that came in, I remember what was recorded. I remember what studio was. I remember what the situation was. Every record, every CD was a different situation. Like, for instance, the first two were the first record was like totally, you're going to be the lead singer, Petra's doing a solo record. Oh, my gosh. But that was exciting because I had so many songs in that were already cataloged in my head as far as subjects, because I've been going out and doing solo stuff using Petra material, but having a lot of things to talk about that didn't have songs with them yet. So it was exciting to be able to write songs with those subject matters that I was talking about live. And And boy, I had a great team, totally new team for me. I tried my best never to use the Petra team. And what I mean producers, writers, musicians. I always tried to stay away from that because I didn't want to compete with Petra. I wanted to be me. I will say Shake, which was the first one, was tough because it did sound a lot like Petra. I didn't mean it to, but even using different people all the way around with my voice and my style, I could tell that I was really influenced by Petra. The shock of shock, since I've been with him, I think by that time for about 12 years, but come on. But then the second record was a total new experience. I actually tried to not sound like the first record or Petra. So, you know, it's that kind of stuff. Just as each song would come up, it just reminded me of the location, the guys that are using, my thought, how I wrote it, where I wrote it. So, yeah, there's a lot of memories.
And tell me about some of the musicians that played on some of these albums. And you can't mention them all, of course. But I know that a lot of session musicians, they don't really get the spotlight. So maybe you can spotlight some of the guys and gals maybe that yeah, played on I some would, of these I albums that really stand out.
Dave and Dan Huff, part of Giant. Mark Hyman, who was very instrumental with DC Talk, and Michael W. George Guccini, who is an amazing guitar player that was and that's just my first two records. Then the last four had Dan Needham, my son-in-law, who is one of the most amazing drummers in the country. Played with Mike McDonald. He plays a lot with on the Huckabee Show. Is a great, really a great producer, arranger, and all his team. And I can't even mention all of them. I give up trying to do that. And it just, then I have one song where Billy Smiley and I, actually several songs off the Union of Sinners and Saints, where Billy Smiley and I used some key musicians out of White Hart and studio musicians that were happening in the newer times now. It just, and again, I wish I could name more, but I mean, the Union Center Saints, we had Michael W. Joining us. We had Dan Huff again. We had, oh my gosh, you name it, we probably had him. So it's one of those honors that for some reason God's allowed me to be in that kind of company. And because of that, I think the songs register that.
Yeah, I was listening to you back through some of those songs and albums the last couple of days, and one that they're all great, but one that kind of stood out for me for some reason, I can't quite put words to it, but is the Unfit for Swine album. that's a great album. Yeah, you want to speak about that specific one a little bit?
Well, that one was, like I said, it was an experiment. I really went out of my way not to sound like Petra. In fact, I mean, we went almost every direction Petra would have gone, we went the opposite direction. My writing was totally different. The musicianship was totally different. Had the same guys as the first record, but we said, okay, this is going to be for people who don't like Petra. It really was, we tried to go out and try to reach the people that don't like Petra, don't like their style. It was a flop because the Petra fans were mad and the people that don't like Petra said, we know what you're trying to pull. We don't care. And the first single went out was called God's Too Big. And everybody thought I was singing God is Stupid. So as you know, if you'd have just looked at the words, listen to it. But that was a catastrophe, too. So that record was not what I call one of my major successes. Although, like I said, it's got to be one of the best. I mean, it's like children. You know, I love them all. And that record was totally unique. I think some of the best writing I ever did was on that record. And I'm very proud of it, but I'm very proud of every record I do.
Well, I love that album. The only thing I can discuss there is the image of you on the cover. For some reason, it kind of looks like you, but it kind of doesn't.
I hated that picture. That's
really,
that's the second worst picture I've ever taken in public, I think. My first one was on the back cover of Plaza Pancake with the, in my secular days. I hated that album. I told them, do not use that picture. I don't know why I do that, because every time I tell a record company don't do something, they do it. Including that pig on the CD. I said, don't use pigs. Don't use pigs. Don't put that on the front cover. And what do they do? Bam, bam, right in a row. They just did to spite me.
That's funny. But again, it's a unique album, and I think it kind of stands out from your other work. But you've also got the most recent Go, and that just came out a number not that many years ago. Mm-hmm. But what about you want to talk about that Go album? I think is your most recent solo album, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and I call it the oldest new record I've ever had. I think it's 3 years old now. I might going on four, I think. And it came out the day before COVID was officially announced, February 28th. And I think March 1st was when COVID became the monster that it turned out to be. And because of that, everything shut down. My tour of that album shut down. And it just sort of disappeared on me, which is a shame, because I think it's probably, well, like I said, you know, every album's great to me, but it was a very good album. And I'm very glad that there's several songs on that record, on the compilation, because it lets you see, wow, where did these come from? Just great. That's where I used three different production teams, and it was God, because although we got together and talked a little bit about what direction we were all trying to head in, it pretty much wasn't one of those things where, okay, I'll write this, you write that. It was each team had their vision. We would get together and write, and the songs came together as that team. But when it was all said and done and we put the record together, it was amazing. It was of God. It was a perfect balance of, I call it my roller coaster, you know, the mellow, fast. It just was great. Different styles you'd have to hear it. It's just different styles, but mixed well together. If it was a set, people would enjoy it very much.
Well, I think I mentioned this to you before, but one of the things that I'm really amazed by is the consistency of your singing ability over all of these albums. And even going back to the 80s, your voice has been consistent, and your voice is also unique. And I think I've mentioned this to you as well. In my opinion, your voice is like, it's instantly recognizable, like a Rod Stewart or maybe a young Elton John or Freddie Mercury. You've got a voice that's instantly recognizable, and you've been able to maintain that for all of these years. And I think you told me before, but how do you keep that up?
It's nothing I do. Trust me. I do everything that I'm not supposed to. I drink cola. I drink, you know, caffeine's my favorite, is a buddy of mine. I love ice. Anything that a music specialist would say don't do, that's what I do. So I would say that really the common denominator is God. And that includes even in the Hades days. I think God knew of course he knew what he had in store for me. And I praise God that I am able still to sing. And I'm still out there touring with the anniversary tour. I would love again to tour with the Go and now the History album. And as long as God allows me to do that, I'm using this music to bring across a message that's life-changing. And how dare I not use it? As my wife would say, God is not a God of waste. So as long as I have this voice, which I have to, I understand what you mean by unique. I started realizing that too as I listened to some of my other favorite singers. And I go, you know, I just don't sound like that too much, do I? And praise God for it. It's it's sort of nice to be unique. If it's a good unique, if it's a bad unique, it can tear people's ears off. So I'm hoping that it's a good unique.
Well, it's definitely a good unique. Another unique thing is the you've got some really good album covers. I want to speak about that last album cover of the Go album. Mm-hmm. I think you're speeding away in a car. What type of automobile are you driving in? Is that yours?
I wish it was. I couldn't afford it. That's more expensive than my house. My two sons have a dealership in Scottsdale, Arizona, which actually where I'm at as we speak. And they deal in very exotic, nice cars that, again, I can look at. I don't want to touch because I might put a scratch in it. And this one was, I think it was a Mercedes sports car. And he actually let me drive it the rest of the day, which was a lot of fun. And we got up and just before dawn, took his team out. He has a team for his promos, you know, and taking pictures of cars and this kind of stuff. And took the whole team out, brought a couch, an old couch out, put it in the middle of the desert next to this abandoned road, and came up with these ideas for the album cover. And his team did a fantastic job. John, my son is John and Chris. John owns the company. Chris works for John. And they work together a lot. And with me, my last couple album covers, we could do better than that. I don't like your album cover, which I did, but apparently they didn't. So we don't like your album. Tell you what. And I showed them the idea of what the album cover was going to be for Go. And they said, no, you fly out here. We're going to get the desert. We're going to do this. Here's our plan. So they did it, and it's got to be one of the best album covers I've ever had. I mean, these characters, I'm very proud of my sons, and they came up with this idea, and we're able to put it together, and I love it. I think it's probably the coolest album cover I've ever had. So they knew what they were talking about, and I didn't. So what can I say?
Well, it's a unique album cover. I really appreciate it. But what's your son's dealership? What is that?
In exotic. It's called Luxury Auto Collection out of Scottsdale, Arizona. And if you want a Ferrari, a Rolls Royce, a Bentley, whatever the most expensive car you can find, they have it in their dealership. So. But they have very, very good deals because they're actually all used cars, which is funny. A Ferrari is used if it has 3 miles on it, but you could have 5,000 miles on a Ferrari. It could be 4 years old because Ferraris, you drive them, for an hour on Sunday and you park them. And that's sort of the way, it's amazing. I'm told, and they also deal with Sprinters now. Sprinter vans, which actually they bless Petra and our tour with a Sprinter van every year, which is a fantastic way to travel. Buses would be nicer, but we just don't do that many shows, and a Sprinter is the perfect compromise with total comfort. So, and God bless them for allowing us to sponsor us that way, and we lease them at a very reasonable price, and we're able to travel in a pretty comfortable way.
And I think they've got some connection to your Build It ministry as well. I want to hold off that question until just a little bit later. Yes. But I want to talk about that as well. But this is funny to me anyway. I was looking at some of your interviews and behind the scenes. I think I came across a Petra 1986 behind the scenes recording of one of the albums. And you pulled up. Driving a 1980s Chrysler minivan that had wood paneling. Yeah. I'm curious if you still have that beautiful piece of machinery.
Oh, that was the ugliest van. That was a rental. That's all I can say. We flew in, rented that thing. It was ugly. But it just so happened that that video was sort of a joke. It was done by a friend of mine who has deceased since then. But he said, John, I want to do a video. This is so cool. It was the first record that I toured that I recorded with Petra, Back the Street. And he sort of did a, sort of a back scene type of thing, just clowning around, and it was fun. Yeah, would I drive that van normally? No, I am. That was really an ugly van. Thank you for bringing that up, buddy. I appreciate that.
Well, it's something you have to see, and nothing rocks the '80s like a Chrysler minivan with wood paneling. So I thought that was a good deal. So.
Thank you,
John. As far as your solo stuff, we certainly got this 3-disc box set that you can. What's the best way to order this if someone wants to listen to it? If they want to purchase it, and I encourage people to purchase this music instead of just stealing it online. How do they purchase it?
It would be girdermusic.com. It's the only way you can get it. I can't get it unless I order it myself. There's only 500 copies of the original, and the original has a lot of very unique stuff. I don't know if they're going to press any after that. I told them, I said, this is a beautiful collector's item. So that once I saw it, I said, guys, you've done a great job of creating a collector's item. And I think it's gonna work great. I think you'll probably go through all five of them pretty quickly, which they are. So if you're interested, my friends, please go to it right away. It's girdermusic.com, and just order the John Schlitt History. And I would really like you to do that. Like I said, it really was done as a collector's item for my friends that have been part of Petra John Schlitt. And again, I hope that I'm able to get one so I can put it in my file cabinet, but we'll see.
So let's talk about Build It, your Build It ministry. And what exactly is that all about?
Several years ago, when I had a little more time on my hands, I was sitting down with my wife and I said, you know, babe, God has blessed me in so many different ways. And I'm doing nothing right now. This was when I don't know what time period. I don't remember when I was doing nothing. But I just felt like there was a lot of time on my hand and I needed to do something else. And due to certain circumstances, I was blessed with some income that I wasn't counting on before. And I said, you know what? We need to build a ministry that helps people that gets lost in the shuffle. And what I meant by that was people that are hardworking, normally can take care of themselves just fine, but will be down in luck somehow, you know, a medical problem, a catastrophe, a house burned down, this kind of stuff, where it just totally throws them off. And all of a sudden they are in dire strait but no one comes to the rescue. They're supposed to they're supposed to do it on their own. They're supposed to take care of themselves. But you get to a certain point and you're just as needy as everyone else that's on the street under a tent. So I kept that in mind. And that was just one example. And I sort of sat and thought about it and said, okay, what's unique about me? Well, my music. I actually can use music to be a financial aid to someone. So a lot of different thoughts. And I tried to formulate a bunch of different ideas, like what if we do free concerts and I pay for them. We charge tickets to someone, and whatever church or place it is, use the ticket income to take care of a local, a local need. That fell through. So I was just scratching my head trying to figure, okay, God. In other words, I was trying to do it myself. And I finally sat down and said, God, you have blessed me. How can I bless others? And that's when the doors started opening. Very unique and unusual ways to have a ministry that's tax deductible. You have to have definitions of what it is. I think the biggest problem I had with Build It Ministries was trying to define what it was designed to do, because it really was wide open for any need that came across my path. And that's how it sort of developed. And it has been a blessing to me ever since to watch the smiles on people's faces that are totally surprised because somebody cared enough
to see that they were hurting, even though sometimes they wouldn't ask. They were hurting, and it's just a beautiful way to spend your time, spend your effort, spend your the blessings that God gives you. I mean, I can give you examples that there are very unique, different. For instance, a lady who has a wheelbound child, and this child was growing bigger and bigger, and she's turned into a babe that she can't lift anymore. You know, and so through the church, there was a notice saying that this lady needs to have a wheelchair access van. And all of a sudden, God goes, okay, there you go, John. And I just so happened I was talking with my son, and I asked him, do you have any connections to wheelchair van? He says, Dad, it's what do you ask that? I said, well, I told him, he said, let's do it. So through LAC and Build It Ministries, we were able to get her a beautiful van with that was perfect for her. And then by that time, someone had donated a wheelchair to her. So no longer did she have to lift the little lady, and she's not as little anymore. Lift her up, put her in a chair. Just now it's roll up. And her siblings, there were two daughters besides she has three daughters. The siblings were excited because now they could go to fast food restaurant and get a burger together, all four of them, you know, that kind of excitement. Another lady has a nice home, but she was down in luck. She got sick. She had her own company. She got sick, was on the verge of losing it. Her home had been sort of degraded. It was a beautiful old home before. And she was a friend of mine, actually. And I walked in one day, and her home looked like you could tell that she was hurting. And once again, it was, thank you, Lord, I see. So I spent a day cleaning up her kitchen for her and realized that this was just the beginning. Ended up building a brand new deck on the back of her house, which in turn allowed an entrance to the top part of her house, which used to be an apartment. So we redid that. It's that kind of stuff where God allows me to be useful to folks that would be otherwise sort of lost in the shuffle.
Well, you've got a link on your website at johnschlett.com for Build It. And if folks, they can read about what you do with Build It Ministry, and they can click on that link and they can donate if they so desire, correct?
Thank you if you do. I appreciate it very much. I'll try. I try very hard never to waste a penny of anyone who's entrusted in me. I will say that part of that money does go to buying my groceries, but that's just how it works. So I never want to not let folks know about that too. So it's a beautiful way to live. I have been blessed way beyond anything I deserve with Petra. Well, just the fact that God gave me a second chance when I was 30 years old, and to be able to use music again, and then to be able to use that branding, that notoriety to take it to this step of helping others. It's just, I pray that God allows me to be healthy enough to help others for many years to come, either through music or through opportunities that just pass my way.
Absolutely. And John, what's on the horizon? What's on your calendar?
The Petra 50th anniversary, it's on its third year, which is funny because this year is the 50th anniversary of the first LP that Petra put out. And it looks like it's going to be probably one of the busiest years Petra's had in 20 years. If not, that's fine too. I'm excited to be able to go out on the road. I'm also excited to be home. So again, whatever God opens up will be an exciting adventure. We're ready for either. I know that we're already booked all over the world. So that's an odd, we will be all over, from Scandinavia to Brazil to Mexico to Canada to already those are already on the books. It's the funny part is the hardest part for us to play, the hardest place for us to play is in the U.S. because it's just for some reason it's just, and I'm not saying that we don't have an amazing batch of amazing friends, fans. It's just hard to play here. So we're going to do our best to make sure it's convenient for folks that want to experience that 50 years of Petra, and the set we have is dynamic. We're adding new songs this year, even to the set that they may have heard last year. And back to songs we're adding were songs that people kept saying, I wish you had. So we are. And so that is taking a lot of time. We're actually working on several projects that I can't talk about right now. But once, isn't that mysterious? Come on. But that's keeping us very busy. And I think folks will be very happy about it when they hear what's going on. And I still would, and I'd like to do some solo stuff, you know, to feature history, and to represent it in a good way live. Again, it's up to God. I never know. But on my spare time, I'm working with Build It Ministries, and it just keeps me busy.
Well, again, John, you've got a three disc set called History of your many solo endeavors. And again, if someone wants to order this, you want to give them a website. I will put the website link at the bottom of the video.
GerderMusic.com. And just you'll get they've got a plethora of product. Just go in and say John Shalit History.
Absolutely. And John, I'm hoping your battery, I guess I'm kind of truncating these questions because I'm not sure your battery will last. But again, John Shalit at johnshalit.com. You can find more about John there and his many endeavors.